When we talk about forecasts, and I want to go through some of these scriptures. I'm going to be very practical. We're not going to be academic. You can take notes, but I'm not going deep. I'm not getting into word studies and Greek and all of that. I just want to speak to your hearts and just kind of encourage you, because there are some things that we are transitioning through as a church. But I do know that whenever the people of God transition as a group, as a congregation, more than likely there's going to be some transition in all of your lives. That's how it works. As we transition, people transition, because the church doesn't just consist of a group, it consists of individuals in your life. And the whole concept of the seven-day forecast, as it is in a very literal sense, is the fact that that every day doesn't look the same. Every day doesn't look the same. If you ever watch the news, and if you're one of those people like me who wants to know, well, what is it going to look like? You watch the news, and you do this so that you can get an idea of what it will look like. And very seldom, especially if you live here in Texas, if you're here visiting from the Northeast or from the Midwest, it may be consistent. But Texas, it is so inconsistent that there's a little mantra that goes, if you don't like the weather in Texas, just wait a minute. Well, that's how it is in life. Every day is not going to be the same. Every season is not going to be the same. It would be nice if the things and the way things are on Sunday would be the way it would be throughout the week. But the reality is, every day is not going to be the same. Things are not going to go the way you wish they go every day. Every day, the weather is going to be different. And so to live in your forecast, by that I mean simply living with your forecast. There has to be some days, as in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says, now we know that all things work together for the good of those, for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That means there are some days when things, God, you can apparently see God working things out. Say amen if you've ever had a day where you saw God working things out. I mean, he's so obvious when he does it. As a matter of fact, you start connecting the dots that he put on the page, and you walk away from that day feeling all right. You walk away from that day encouraging somebody, because there are some days where all things work together for the good. Now, we do know that applies to all the days, but how many of you know it doesn't feel that way every day? Every day it doesn't feel like God is working things together for good and for his glory. No. There are some days where things are falling apart so miserably. You try to get a grip of things, and you try to exercise as much control as you can over what's going on in that day, but that day is not bringing evidence that everything is working together for good. There are some days, according to James chapter 1 and verse number 2, it says, count it all joy. There are some days where you just got to count it all joy. It doesn't mean things are joyful. Doesn't mean things are happy. Doesn't mean you have the high from Sunday. It just means some days you have to muster up enough fortitude and enough courage in your heart and enough faith to just say, I know it's ugly, but I'm going to count this thing as joy. Not happiness, as joy though. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, into divers trials, into different tribulations, into different situations. All you have to do to fall into different situations is inhale and exhale. Every day you live, there are situations waiting on you that are beyond your control. This is in the Word of God, which means it's part of our forecast. God is telling us, by telling us what he says in James chapter 1 and verse number 2, that there will be days where we just got to say, you know what? In spite of what it looks like, I'm going to consider it joy, and I'm going to benefit from the rain.
Amen. Amen.
I said, I'm going to benefit from the rain. I refuse to go through this mess on this day without bringing something good out of this mess. And I'm going to consider it all joy when I fall into divers temptations. Then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12 says something, give something else in our forecast. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, Paul tells Timothy something about all of our forecasts, their forecast back then and our forecast today. He says, yea, or yes, everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. Let me tell you, that's not pretty. That's not pretty. I'm going to tell you why that's not a pretty forecast. Because what that simply means is even when you're doing right, you're going to suffer. Is there anybody that thought at some point in your life got the idea in your head that if I did things right, if I made the right decisions, if I made the right choices, if I treated my neighbor right, if I did everything right on my job, if I was forgiving and kind, if I was kind to people I didn't know, if I came to worship on Sunday, if I gave and tithed and offered, if I treated the person that I didn't like me the right way, then maybe, just maybe, because I'm living for Christ, everything will be all right. I need you to get that misnomer, and I want you to get that misconception out of your head. Living for Jesus will make things right, but it will also cause you trouble. And Paul says, yea, they that live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. Everybody must suffer persecution. You don't get away from suffering because you're doing the right thing. Okay? All right? I know this is shallow for some of you wanting me to dig into the Greek word for this and the Greek word for that. But what I've learned, it isn't the complex stuff that get us. It's the simplicity that gets us. It's the simple things that we forget. Simple things like doing right can get you treated wrong. Are you understanding this? So watch this. Why is this important? Because if we take this ideology into our lives, whenever we get mistreated and whenever we're going through a rough spot, we will think that the solution is always trying to turn up on our living right. Is there anybody that said, well, maybe I'm going through so much because I'm not living right. Maybe I need to live more right. I need to be a realist with you in here today. If you think by turning up your living right, turning up your morality, and you think the problem is, well, maybe I need to come to church more or do extra or be extra, there is not a guarantee, and I hate this in the forecast. This would be like a thunderstorm. There is no guarantee that turning up on doing right is going to get you rescued or get you and make you exempt from suffering. If you live for God, get it in your head, you are going to suffer persecution. Now, in this text, he was talking about being persecuted for living for God. But how does that look today? It looks like living for God and getting so frustrated because nothing is changing that you begin to struggle with whether or not it's worth doing the right thing, because you watch people who aren't doing the right thing looking like they're being blessed. I wonder if there's a witness, and y'all not talking back to me. Maybe it's getting in your spirit, but even me, everything is not deep. Some things are simple. Sometimes I don't want to see people who are not trying, people who are living any kind of way, get blessed with the blessings I have. But living right, what's in your forecast? If you live right, daughter, God is saying, daughter, son, listen here, if you live for God, you're still going to suffer. Amen. You must suffer, because that's how obedience is refined. Then Psalms chapter 30, look, the sun has come out. Psalms chapter 30 and verse number 5. And on that day, the Bible says, a weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's a weird forecast where you have two things happening in one day. That text illustrates two things happening in one day. You ever have one of them days? We've seen one of those days where it's raining in the morning and clear in the evening. That's what that text is. It basically says that in that forecast, that morning, that evening, it's going to rain. As a matter of fact, it's going to rain all through the night. Have you ever been in a situation where it was just hard, just hardship after hardship after hardship after hardship after hardship? And I know you might not say amen because you're listening, but I know I'm talking to people that's been in hardship after hardship after hardship. We didn't know what to call it. We just said Murphy's Law. If it can't go wrong, it will go wrong. But I want you to know that whenever your life, if you're trusting in God, has this string of hardships, that weeping, that being frustrated, that being agitated and discouraged may endure for the night. But if you can just hold on and embrace your forecast, the forecast says that joy is going to come in the morning. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. There'll be days where you just don't know what the weather's going to be like. So in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, it just says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And don't try to figure out what's happening today. Don't try to come up with a conclusion. In other words, we don't know what it is. We'll predict as much as we can what it is, but it says that trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your own understanding. This is what you do in all your ways, no matter how it's looking, acknowledge him. And guess what? Because he's in control of the weather, because he's in control of the season, because he controls the rain and he controls the sun. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And guess what he's going to do? Even if he doesn't change the weather, he'll direct your path in it. I'm talking to 5, 10, 15 people that needed to hear that today, because you've been having some interesting forecasts. Amen. The Bible says, great are the afflictions of the righteous. Psalm 34. What are you seeing? You're seeing that the Bible is a book that gives a balance of good and bad weather. Amen. Let's stop making the Bible idealistic. The Bible is not an idealistic book. The forecast based on what God says in Scripture is diverse. I know even in this life, we like to move somewhere where it's sunny every day. And there are places that yield a different kind of weather than other places. But when it comes to the word of God and the forecast and the scripture and what God says is going to happen, it's diverse. The Bible says in that text in Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Bible says the Lord delivereth them out of them all. What do you see? There's this strange balance. Hear what God is saying in your forecast. Rough times, deliverance. Weeping, joy. Do you see the balance? And if you are predicating your walk with God on every day being sunny, then you are not living in your forecast. You're in denial about what God says to you about your life. Amen?
Amen.
Jeremiah 29, verse number 11. Simply says, God says, I know the plans I have for you. In other words, I'm in control and I have the plans and I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you. Thoughts to do you good and not harm. Thoughts to prosper you, to give you a future, to give you hope, which tells us that nothing in our forecast is permanent. Oh, I just want to encourage somebody in here. Nothing is permanent. Now watch this. The rough times are not permanent. Stop treating temporary situations like they're permanent. It's not there to stay. Change is going to come. But guess what? Stop getting so comfortable in the good times. Because they're not what? Permanent. It's not about the permanence of the season, but the permanence of the God who controls it all. And if you got God, even though life is inconsistent, you have the one consistent person who can be with you through every inconsistent situation. One of the things they say of Dallas Police Department and Police Department is that one thing is consistent, and that is it is consistently inconsistent. And that's life, consistently inconsistent. just when you get it just right, boom, something happens.
Amen.
That's the forecast. Well, let's look at this text right quick. John chapter 21. Where's Brother Thompson? John chapter 21, verse 18 through 22. And readers, I'm going to need you to read here, and we're moving right along. The Bible says in John chapter 21, verse 18 through 22, what?
Truly, truly, I say to you.
Truly, I say to you.
When you were younger.
When you were younger. This is Jesus talking to Peter. This is after he gets up out of the grave. As a matter of fact, he gets out of the grave on the third day, but they don't see him as soon as he gets out of the grave. And so there's a period of time on the third day, Sunday, or whenever your theology, whatever your theology takes you or to believe what day it was. But for all practical purposes, we'll say Sunday. Yeah, he got up early Sunday morning, but everybody didn't see him early Sunday morning. So what you had is you had some of the apostles who hadn't saw him yet. So they reverted to doing what they were doing back before he called them. And most of them were fishermen. Peter says, well, third day, I'm going to go fishing. But the problem was that 3 days ago, Peter denied Jesus. You remember when they thought that Peter was associated with Jesus, and Peter said, no, I don't know the man. They asked him again. He said, no, I don't know the man. The third time they asked him, he started cussing and swearing. Listen, I'm going to tell you. I mean, he stood slew-footed. I mean, he had a bandana hanging out his back. He was gangster about it. He was like, oh, I don't know him. You hear me? And the Bible says when he did that, the rooster crowed, just as Jesus said it would. You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crowed. The rooster crowed. He made eye contact with Jesus, and all of a sudden, guilt came on him like a dark cloud, like a dark fog. On a sunny day, he began to be clouded with guilt. And then the next thing you know is the third day, and now he's there, and Jesus shows himself to him. They're out there fishing on the water, and basically Jesus tells them, hey, listen, if you want to catch fish, throw your line out to this side. Now, why did they recognize him by that? They recognized Jesus by that experience. Not because they recognized his face, not because they seen the nail prints in his hands, but it was because that was Jesus-like. Because one of the first things they saw him do and the first premises they met him on is they were fishing when they met him. And they were catching nothing when they met him. And the first thing and the first way Jesus introduces himself to them in Luke chapter 5 is he says, go launch out into the deep and get ready for a great catch. They do it and they catch all of this fish, got to call other boats in. That's how they met Jesus. This is the third day. This is Jesus up. And Jesus, guess what? Reacquaints himself with them based on how he met them the first time. They're out there fishing. And Jesus says, why don't you go and cast your line at a certain place? And then they say, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. Yeah. And they knew it was Jesus. So Jesus now is talking and walking with Peter. He tells him, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yeah, I love you. He says, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? He starts crying. He's hysterical. He's emotional because he's asking him the same amount of times that Peter denied him. Peter denied him 3 times. He asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? He starts crying. He said, Master, you know that I love you. He says, feed my sheep. He's still walking and talking with Peter. And he says, Peter, when you were younger, you were able to go and come as you please. Read.
You used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished.
Yes, you were able to do whatever you wanted to do. You used to dress yourself. But what?
But when you were old. You would stretch your hands
when
out.
When you grow old, guess what's going to happen to you?
Yes.
What is happening? Jesus is telling Peter his forecast.
All right.
Jesus is telling him what kind of weather spiritually is coming in his life. He's telling them that it's not going to be summertime like it is now. It's not going to be sunny with no clouds up in the sky. Your forecast looks like this. You're going to be carried about and won't have the freedom. Read.
you will stretch out your hands.
You're going to stretch out your hand.
And someone else will gird you.
Somebody else is going to dress you. You're going to get to a point, Peter, where you don't have the liberties that you have. Your forecast is dark, cloudy, with a large percentage of rain and thunderstorms, Peter. Read.
And bring you where you do not wish to go.
And you're going to be led where you don't want to go. Read.
Now this he said.
Now what was Jesus talking about? Read.
Signifying by what kind of death
he was talking about the kind of death that Peter would have. Read.
And when he had spoken this.
Now watch this. Peter's listening to his forecast. I mean, he's doing all right now. And Jesus, who he knows is the Son of God, Jesus, who he knows has all power, tells him, look, this is what Wednesday is going to look like. This is what Thursday is going to look like. This is what your weekend is going to look like. You're going to go through suffering, and you're going to go through imprisonment, and you're going to die, and you're going to die to give God the glory. That's what giving God the glory is going to look like to you. That's a bad weather report, wouldn't you say? I mean, what if Jesus came to you, if God came to you personally and said, listen here, I know everything is going well for you now. It's a sunny day, you're fishing. But this time next week, you're going to be locked up. This time next week, you're going to be poor and living on the streets. That's terrible. That's a terrible forecast. And I want you to see Peter as he feels some kind of way about it. And the Bible says what?
He said to him,
follow me. Follow me. Read.
Peter
what?
Turning around, saw a disciple whom Jesus loved.
So Peter now is walking with Jesus. He turns around and he sees John, the disciple whom he loves. And what does the Bible say?
Following them, the one who had leaned back on his bosom at
John
the supper
is the one,
said,
read.
Lord, who is the one who betrays you? So Peter seeing him.
John was the one that asked when they were eating the Last Supper, who's the one that betrayed him? So watch this. Peter's walking with Jesus. He just got this horrifying forecast. He turns and sees John, and Jesus is with him. And he says about John what?
Lord.
Lord.
And what about this man?
What about him? What about him? Because our forecast is our forecast. You got to know where you are. Sometimes in the morning, when I'm barely up, I look at the television. And if you look on Good Morning America or one of those national shows, they show the weather for the nation. And if I'm not careful and aware and alert and assertive, I will look at the weather for New York and think it's the weather for Dallas. But you got to understand what belongs to you, because everybody's forecast is not the same. Your forecast may not look like my forecast. In my forecast, I may bring glory to God by becoming rich and doing humanitarian efforts and giving to a lot of charities and helping a lot of people. And I may go broke going rich. And that might be in my forecast. But for you, it might be being mistreated, being lied on, being criticized, being ostracized and misunderstood. That may be your forecast. But don't hate on somebody else's forecast. Peter didn't like what his forecast looked like, so he became consumed with what John's forecast would look like. He said, Master, what about him? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus basically told him, mind your business. He says, none of your business. And when you don't like what's going on in your life, there's a temptation to look across the way and see and compare what's going on in your life with somebody else's life. But don't you know that what's in their forecast is none of your business? So don't be consumed with another person's forecast. Turn to somebody and tell them that.
Don't be consumed.
Some of us are snooping so much into other people's forecasts. We get on Facebook to look at other people's forecasts. Come on in this house. Social media, it started out as something inspirational, but now people use social media to look at other people's forecasts. What's going on in your life? I'm going through this. Let me see what's going on through that. And if the wrong person is having a good forecast, it makes us feel some kind of way. and it makes us nosy. Stop snooping your nose into other people's forecasts. God has put your forecast before you. No use wasting time, consuming energy, sticking your nose into somebody else's forecast. You are setting yourself up to become bitter, to become envious, and to become jealous. Stay living in your How many people's nose is not on their face because it's in your business? Understand that different areas, even in our country, have different weather forecasts. And it may be cold in one place. It may be warm in another place. And it may be dry and hot in another place. It may be flooding in another place. It's amazing. Houston is only 4 hours away. And it's amazing that while we're in the sunshine, Houston can be in the flood. Amen. That's amazing to me. But understand that, watch this, the weather moves. Do you see why you need to live in your own forecast? Because the weather moves. You don't have time to live in somebody else's forecast. Is that all right? Your forecast is customized in life to your purpose. To your purpose. To your purpose. Some of us don't even know our purpose. If you want to know your purpose, look at your forecast. Pay attention to what's going on, what happened, how the weather looked for you last year in your life. And the things that the Bible tells us we're going to go through, pay attention when you start going through it. When you start suffering. Pay attention, because your forecast will always be linked to your purpose. Live in your purpose and accept your forecast, which means it may be that you may have to be sick this year. And the doctor is telling you, I see something. Okay? The worst thing you can ever do is be in denial about something that God put in your forecast for you to endure. It's based on your purpose. There's somebody that you're going to, God wants you to talk to on the other side of your bad weather that you won't be able to minister to until you survive the storm. It's amazing how many people come up to me now, whether they know my situation or not, talking about dialysis. Don't you know when you're on hemodialysis, that's a whole different language? If you haven't been on it, you don't know it. If you're not working in that field, you don't know. I can walk up to somebody, can walk up to me and talk about dialysis. And I'll say, hey, are you taking your binders? Now you're out of the conversation, even if you're standing there. You don't know what binders are. How are your levels? And now I'm talking that person's language. And some of us, God is going to use our forecast to teach us a new language. Has anyone learned the language of pain? Has anyone learned the language of survival? Has anyone learned the language of discouragement and the language of depression? You can't speak that language unless you have accepted that forecast in your life and endured it. Oh, y'all not helping me this morning. I'm going to move quickly. John 11:4. I owe you dinner, Andre Thompson. We had this little deal. But John 11:1-4. How many of you remember Lazarus? God, Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick. Jesus knew that the forecast, no matter how it looked, would end in God's glory. So in verse 4, Jesus basically tells Mary and Martha, look, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Meaning this storm is on purpose. Turn to somebody and tell them sometimes your storms are on purpose. Stop blaming everything on the devil. Everything is not the devil. God might just be giving you a forecast because he wants to get glory. And sometimes the only way or the best way God gets glory out of us is by us having a forecast that is not pleasurable.
God says, you never knew I was an umbrella until I let it rain in your life. You never knew I was a shelter in the time of storm until you went through something that nobody else can protect you from. God will use your forecast to bring himself glory. And in that regard, if that's the case, you will do well in your forecast when you start becoming okay with God getting glory. Amen. You got to be okay with that. Now watch this. The hard thing about that is you got to be okay with that no matter how God chooses to. You don't write God a prescription for how he can get glory from your life. You got to be okay, and you got to trust him to know that because all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that is in your forecast no matter how dark and dreary and rainy and stormy it gets in your life. And you have to come to grips with the fact that when this thing is over, I may not be comfortable, but God is going to get some glory. How many of you are okay with God getting glory out of your life? Now let me tell you something. That's different from you giving God glory. Because what we do in church is we give God glory. And we, guess what? Most people are okay with giving him glory. But are you okay with God getting it? Are you understanding this? You know the giving, getting thing, right? You ever have somebody, you ever told somebody, oh, anything you need, anytime. They say, I need $10. Sister Olivia, I need $10. Praise leaders. And you say, oh, you give me $10. I need $10, Damani. And you say, I better ask Stephanie. You might just say no. But Stephanie. And watch this. You give it to me and I say, thank you so much. And you say, anytime. So one day your purse is there. Sitting in the pew. And I reflect, oh, anytime. You see how y'all feel right now? Right? And I go and I say, well, she did say anytime, and I see $10 sticking out of there. So what I'm going to do, she gave it to me. She was all right with giving it to me, but then she said anytime, so I'm going to get it. Which one was more comfortable? Giving glory. And it will always be more comfortable giving God glory than it is for him getting glory out of you. Because getting glory out of you means he's going to do it how he chooses to, based on his sovereignty and not based on your comfort. How many of you are okay with God getting glory? I'm almost done. Build and prepare for your forecast. In Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 through 27, Jesus says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth him. Look at what he says. I liken him. He uses a weather analogy. He says, I liken the man who hears the sayings of mine and doeth them. I compare him. He is like a man that built his house on a rock. Now, that would be fine if that's all it said. He then says, then the rains descended. The winds blew. And the floods came. And his house stood because he prepared for his forecast. And what I mean preparing for your forecast comes before. To prepare for it is to know that whatever is being told to you is going to come to pass. So he built for the forecast. This is a principle that works in every aspect of life. It works in your finances. We're about to go into a week of finances. And on Wednesday nights. You know, saving money is not just to save money. It's not just because you're a penny pincher and you want to well up money, but saving money and being a good steward is always also about the fact that it may not be sunny in your wallet next week. The forecast may have rain in it. And so what you have to do is you have to build and prepare for it. It's about preparation. In your life, Jesus says that if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, guess what? They're not just going to benefit you now. They're going to benefit you when the weather changes. And the reason why some people don't survive when the weather changes is because they don't prepare for it when the weather's fine. He then goes on and say, he that does not hear these sayings of mine and does not keep them, I liken him to a foolish man that built his house on the sand. You're talking about two different foundations. Because nothing about your forethought gave you an inkling of an idea that maybe the sand is not the foundation I want to build on. So because this man only thought about right now, he built his house on the sand. And guess what? The same conditions came to both men. The rains descended, the flood winds blew, and the floods came and beat on the house. And the Bible says, and great was the fall of it. Do you know the difference between somebody that can go through a major crisis and come out wounded but still standing and somebody who goes through the same major crisis and doesn't come out at all? And when I say don't come out at all, I'm talking about don't come out with the same faith and devotion that they had to God. They come out looking different. And I'm not talking about looking different to man. I'm talking about looking different to God. There are some of us that can go through something and we, watch this, it makes us closer to God. Then others of us that can go through something and we don't want nothing to do with God until things change. Do you know the difference between two people that can go through the same thing? The foundation. One prepared for the forecast. You don't need Jesus just for right now. You need Jesus for what's going to happen 3 days from now. You need Jesus for the call, the bad news call. You need Jesus for the diagnosis. You need Jesus for the breakup. You don't just need him for right now. So what you do is you listen to him right now. You're obedient to him right now. You trust in him right now because you're just not living for right now. You're living for your forecast. And you don't want to be in such a weakened state that you can't give glory to God after he got it. Yeah, I missed that. You don't want to be so weak that you can't give glory to God after he gets it from you. Because when God gets glory from you, guess what? He turns around and says, now give me glory. Okay. Oh, yeah, I know that's good. That's good to me if nobody else. Oh, God. Job says in Job 14, y'all remember Job? He's messed up. Things falling apart in his life. I couldn't be Job. Things falling all apart. Kids die all in one day. Can you imagine all your children dying in one day? He goes from being prosperous to being a pauper. And one day, your kids die in one day. You lose all your possessions in one day. Now, this is not different one days. This is all the same day. A very concentrated version of our trials. Because at least our trials, all of them don't come on us in one day. I mean, at least sometimes we get a 24-hour break and a nap and a lay down and a get up between the next thing. But for Job, everything happened in one day. And I want you not to glamorize or to make Job a hero before the end of the book. Job went into a depression, man. And I'm going to tell you, that's something we don't talk about in the church enough. Depression. Anxiety. Sometimes we throw a placebo at a real problem. A scriptural placebo. Here you are suffering with depression, and I'm not talking about I just don't feel good today. I'm talking about these things that have gone on in your life has fixated your mind and your chemical imbalance to continue to think about it. It might have started with a bad feeling, but it's so beyond the bad feeling now. Now you're sad even when you should be happy, and you don't understand why you're so depressed. And so you wonder, and so people wonder why when you go to them and you say, hi, how you doing? And you just, you know, you barely speak, and they walk away taking it personal, but it's not personal. You know, my life consists of more than on seeing you one day of a week. I have a whole life. I have feelings. I hurt. I struggle. I scratch and I strain, and I'm going through something. And just because you can't see it or understand it doesn't mean it's not as bad as it is. It's depression that you can even get that way with God. And I know we were taught in our theology, don't question God, but I wish there was 13 honest people in here to say that you've had times in your life where you had to just look up to heaven and say, what in the world is going on, if you said it that politely. What is going on? What's going on? I mean, come on. I know. Not you, preacher. Yes, me, preacher. I've done that in this empty room. Walk down this aisle on the weekday, this room, all the lights come, and I say, Lord, what's going on? I don't know what to do. You yelled at God. Jesus did. He cried with a loud voice in his darkest hour and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Job was in a dark place, man. That would put you in a dark place. Some of us would have to be medicated after this. He was so depressed. He says in Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? I mean, do I get to press the reset button if I die, since I'm going to live again? I mean, he was pretty close to suicidal. He was cursing the day he was born. But he came to this conclusion. He says, well, all of my appointed time, if it's going to get better if I die and live again, and all my appointed time, I'm just going to wait until my change comes. Turn to somebody and say, don't rush it. Just wait for your change to come. The forecast is not going to be the same. Even if you're at the end of your life, God says, it'll be better when life is over. Don't get depressed. Don't get down. Don't give up. Don't quit. Just wait. Turn to somebody and tell them, wait for it. Wait for it. I know you're down. I know you're depressed. I know you're discouraged, but wait for it. You lost your job. They're repoing your car, but just wait for it. I know things are not what you planned for them to be. I know you should be somewhere else with the amount of time you've been on this earth, but just wait for it. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray when you're tired of praying. Keep praying and wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Keep calm and wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Why? Because the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I know it's dark. I know it's raining. I know it's sad. I know it's gloomy. I know the storm is raging and the billows are tossing high, but wait for it. Turn to somebody and say, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it, and if you wait long enough, the sun is gonna shine again, because you gotta learn to live in your forecast. Everybody stand to your feet.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Wait, live for in it. Your forecast.
Yeah.
Turn to somebody and say, learn to live in your forecast. Jesus knew his forecast. He would say it. He was his own meteorologist. How do you know? Jesus says, tear down this tabernacle and this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. As a matter of fact, Peter Peter challenged his forecast. He said, the Son of Man is going to be taken and he's going to be crucified. He's going to be taken by cruel hands. Peter said, be it far from you, Lord. That's not going to happen. And Jesus, as if saying, I'm the meteorologist here. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Peter, you don't even know what you're saying. While you're trying to change my forecast, Jesus is saying, I'm all right with my forecast because I know it's going to storm one Friday and it's going to be a thunderstorm with lightning and rain and hail on Saturday. But oh, I'll wait for it. I'll wait for it. I'll wait for it. And early Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power in his hand. Turn to somebody and say, make it to Sunday morning. Live in your forecast. And Jesus says, I lived in my forecast so that you can live in yours. And no matter what your forecast is, God is in control. Oh, he's so in control. We think we're in control, but God is. I remember when I was bothering my dad so that he can teach me how to drive. Way back when I was little, and my dad would put me on his lap while he was behind the wheel, and he let me take the wheel. If it was a parking lot or something, he even let me turn the wheel. But what I didn't see is I didn't see his finger on the bottom of the steering wheel. So as I felt like I was controlling something, his hand was on it all along. I'm here to tell you, you can feel like you're in control all you want, but God's hand is on it all along. But he's such a gracious daddy that he's okay. He's okay.